Great gospel-packed songs tonight. If a man can't preach after that, he don't have any preach in him. Amen? That's good. Wonderful. Glories. Glories of the gospel. That's what we heard in those songs. How about we preach about that tonight? Amen? The glories of the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, many are the glorious glories of the gospel. You know, the glories of the gospel are infinitely eternal, forever. God will be unfolding for us the glories of the gospel and what has happened and God sending his Son to redeem us unto himself. It's been said that we should daily preach the gospel to ourselves, ever reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us in the gospel. Let's look at the last two verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll see the gospel there, and we'll kind of unfold this and look at it from some different angles as we think about the glories of the gospel. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop or overseer of your souls." Let's pray again. Father, we bow before you and we come to you in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come asking, seeking, yea, begging for your help to help us see clearly your word, your gospel, what Christ has done here in this passage, how you inspired Peter to write these words for your glory and for our benefit. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read somewhere that the writers of the New Testament were never far from the Old Testament scriptures. And what that means is that the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Old Testament writers is inspiring the New Testament writers. And as we see what we have read here, that it sounds very familiar. It sounds much like some things we might read in the Old Testament. And so are many passages in the New Testament. They have direct links to some Old Testament things there. The Old Testament is influencing, of course, by the Holy Spirit, the writers of the New Testament. It was Christ himself that said the Old Testament scriptures pertain to himself. That all the things written in the Old Testament pertain to him. So we can conclude that the Old Testament spoke, what the Old Testament spoke of is fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. And so this passage before us that Peter has written is a great example of how the Holy Spirit inspired his words and how they were impacted by the Old Testament scriptures. And we will attempt to unfold that in our time together. I entitled the message, "The Glories of the Gospel," for that reason. Now, Paul told us specifically what the gospel was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verse 4 or 3, he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is what Christ has done according to the Scriptures. And so Peter, in these particular verses, are telling us how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. We'll note that this passage that he's referring to, of course, is Isaiah 53 that we're mostly familiar with, and we'll kind of get into that in a moment. But this same passage that has inspired Peter to write this is also the passage that the Holy Spirit inspired, or the Holy Spirit led, the Ethiopian eunuch to read. And he was reading that in his chariot, and the same Holy Spirit that led the Ethiopian eunuch to read that particular passage also told Philip to go and join yourself unto the Ethiopian. And so he went, and he was reading that passage in Isaiah about this man, and the Ethiopian, he's saying, is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about some other man? And how he was as a sheep led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And there in Acts 8:35, it says this, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The gospel is according to the Scriptures. And what we see there is in them saying, and Paul saying what he did there in 1 Corinthians 15, is according to the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament, we see the gospel foretold. And in the New Testament, we see the gospel unfold. So here's what we're going to examine from this text. Just a few things to let you know where we're going and what we're going to be doing. The bearing of sin. The being dead to sin. The straying sheep. The returned sheep. And then we'll have some application there at the end. So let's look first of all at the bearing of sin. You know how you can read a passage and you read a passage and you've read it so many times, and then all of a sudden one day you're reading and you're like, whoa, where's that been all this time? Well, it's always been right there. But you're just now finally seeing it, or God's finally revealing something therein to you. And it's not necessarily that it's anything different from anything else, but it's just like, wow, look at that. It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body. And I was just reading that a while back, and I was like, wow, just kind of hit me different than it ever had before. For who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. His own self. Now, if you go up to verse 21, you'll see that he's definitely talking about Christ. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered up for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Then he continues speaking of Christ. So it was Christ himself. Christ himself. Self bore our sins, the bearing of sins. Now, this is to the exclusion of all others. There never was any other, and there never will be another that can bear our sins and it count in the courtroom of God. Amen. Only this man, this God man, this Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, this was foretold, and we see it foreshadowed in the Levitical laws, in the sacrificial systems, in the tabernacle, and in the temple sacrifices, where they would bring the animals and they would offer the animals up, and they would be animals that were without spot, without blemish. This was a shadow of a lamb that was coming who would be without spot and without blemish. You see that in verse 22 of our text. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We have before us this one who his own self bare our sins, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world that John the Baptist pointed to. In the Old Testament, these sacrifices that were given only extended the favor of God for a time, until the ultimate sacrifice would come. In fact, it just bought them another year, especially on the year or the Day of Atonement when the sacrifice was made. It would gain the favor of God for another year. But it never could, and it never did, do away with sin. It could not do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, we find these words in verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So every year at the sacrifice, they would be reminded of their sins. And they would be reminded that there's one coming who would ultimately bear the sins. And when this one would come and bear the sins, it would be once and for all. So, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So Jesus is this ultimate sacrifice that came, and himself alone, bore the sins of his people. Do you realize that there's not any greater news? There's not any greater word that I could tell you tonight that except that Jesus bore your sins.
Amen.
Himself. He did it. He himself bore our sins. Then it says, in his own body. In his own body, he bore our sins. Now, the same passage that I was referencing in Hebrews 10, the very next verse, verse 5, goes on to say this. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering I wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. A body thou hast prepared. God prepared him, his son, Christ, a body for such an occasion. Now, this time of year, much thought is given to the birth of Christ. And in that birth being special, different from all others, this Jesus, who himself bare our sins in his own body, God prepared that body. God prepared that body by making it different. Something happened there that never has happened, never will happen. A virgin conceived. Jesus, born of woman and of the Holy Spirit, being a body prepared by God for such the purpose of bearing our sins, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Then it says, on the tree. This tree is the tree that God fashioned to hold his son in that body he prepared, and thus bring thereupon all his wrath for sin once and for all for his people. God's wrath towards sin's penalty and punishment was fully extinguished upon his son on the tree. Your sins are forgiven you in Christ, because he bore them himself in his own body on that tree. He took the wrath of God on our behalf. The punishment that should have come down upon our heads came down upon his. Now in Deuteronomy 21, it alludes to this and those who committed crimes worthy of death. In Deuteronomy 21, 22 and 23 state, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. Amen. That your land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Jesus himself, with his own body, prepared by God, on that tree, bearing our sins, becomes accursed of God. Amen. For the sin that he was bearing was worthy of death, and he offered up himself on our behalf to take away our sins and have our debt satisfied in the sight of God. Amen. Martin Luther says, learn to know Christ and him crucified. Learn to sing to him and say, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You have become what you were not, so that I might become what I was not. The bearing of sin. Secondly, we see the being dead to sin. Because of this bearing of sin, and what Christ has done for us on the cross, has given a deadly blow to sin. It has given a deadly blow to the... And we now are dead to sin's wages because of what Christ has done. The wages of sin is death, and the death of Christ pays the wages for us. How glorious is that? That sin's demands of death are satisfied in Christ on our behalf. What shout should rise from souls of saints in light of sin satisfied? Spurgeon said, Jesus has borne the death penalty on our behalf. Behold the wonder. There he hangs upon the cross. This is the greatest sight you will ever see. Son of God, and Son of Man. There he hangs, bearing pains unutterable, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Oh, the glory of that sight. We're dead to sin's wages. We're dead to sin's guilt. Guilt is gone in what Christ has done for us. Let us live in the favor of God, who looked on his Son and was satisfied. Do you know, well, we're going to see what this ought to do for us, what this really does for the child of God, what this really does for the true believer when we see what Christ has done for us, how he has himself in his own body on the tree bore our sins. We're dead to sin's wages, we're dead to sin's guilt, and we're dead to sin's power. Sin has no more dominion over us. It is no longer our master, but it is now dead and buried according to this passage. According to what God has done in Christ on our behalf, the power of sin is dead. In living in light of the gospel, sin loses its grip. Amen. And releases us to live unto God. Amen. The sin's prison bars are open wide at the opening of the tomb, and we're no longer captive to its evils. Listen to John Bunyan on this. Just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loose from off his shoulders, fell off his back, and began to tumble down the hill. And so it continued till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher. There it fell in, and I saw it no more. Amen. There's a deadly era in those who wish to be freed from sin's consequences without being freed from sin's influences. They want to be saved from sin's hell, but yet still live in sin's bondage. They love their sin. They will not give it up. But they expect that they're going to be okay at the end of the way because they said a prayer somewhere along the way. They walked down an aisle, or they signed a card, or they raised their hand and a preacher pronounced them saved. And they're going on in this false conversion, thinking that they're saved while their life has never changed. Listen, in what Christ... what does it say? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. We are now dead to sin. Notice the next part of the verse there in verse 24. That we should live unto righteousness. We are freed in the gospel to live unto God. Amen. Paul said very much the same thing in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. There's a change that takes place. The rest of verse 24 says, by whose stripes we were healed. This clearly means that through the sufferings of our Savior, our sins, for our sins, we are healed from sin's consequences, from sin's influence, from sin's disease. Now, I'm not saying that you can now, because of the gospel, go on and live a sinless life. Can you? Can you become sinless? But by the gospel and because of the gospel, we ought to be becoming sinning less. Amen. I want to sin less. Don't you? I don't want sin to be dominant in my life, in any area. I want to be clean. I want to walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, Peter illustrates this as sheep. Sheep straying and sheep being returned. He says, therefore, we were as sheep going astray. You see the straying sheep. Before you were saved, you were not only a straying sheep, you were just like all the rest of the goats in the world. There was nothing different from you than any lost person. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 kind of tell us this. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, he says. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, until the nature is changed and the straying sheep is returned to the one who owned it from before the foundation of the world, they will walk in the way of the world. John Stott said, before we can see the cross as something done for us, we must see it as something done by us. Amen. You see, it was us crying out, crucify, crucify. It was us. It was our sin saying, I'll hold the nail. I'll pound the hammer. I'll push the crown of thorns upon his head. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Through what Christ has done for us upon that tree, in himself, in his own body, bearing our sins, he has returned us. We are returned sheep. For you were a sheep going astray, but you are now returned under the shepherd and bishop, or the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Something happened in this transaction that happened in Jesus himself, in his own body on that tree. That death secured us to the shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep guaranteed his guidance over us till we reach the heavenly fold. How is it that Isaiah said it? That we see Peter drawing from so vividly? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's what every sin is. When Adam and Eve in the garden, they turned unto their own way. Every time we sin, we think our way's better than God's way. I don't have to tell you they're not. You know that. But we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a glorious gospel. That Jesus himself, in his own body, on the tree, bore our sins, that we now, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now let's look at some applications for this. To live in light of the gospel is freedom of sin's influence on our lives. Thus, we now can live unto righteousness. We can live unto righteousness. And I believe we are equipped and we are bettered to live unto righteousness as we preach the gospel daily unto ourselves, as we are reminded of what Christ has done for us. How can we look at Jesus on the cross? How can we be reminded of Jesus on the cross, bearing our sins, and then turn and pick it up? Pick up and do what he has died for. When that is in our mind, no, we want to forget it. We got to wipe it out of our mind. We got to put it aside. And then we go unto our sin. But if we live in light of the gospel, there's the freedom of sin's influence over our lives, and we can live unto righteousness. To live in the light of the gospel and what we have before us here, what Peter's really tying this to is the example of suffering with patience under extreme wrongs done against us. Look back at verse 19. For this is a thankworthy thing, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. When you are done wrong, this is Peter's point here. He's really talking to servants. And when the masters are mistreating them, or when we are mistreated, when we are maligned, when we're done wrong, and we give place to wrath, we vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We give that unto the Lord. It says, by looking at the gospel, by being reminded of the gospel, we can bear under that. That's acceptable with God. He says, this is acceptable with God. And not only is it acceptable with God, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called. We are called to bear patiently when done wrong. Because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when they reviled him, he didn't give it back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. What did he do? He committed himself to him that judges righteously. He gave place to the Lord. Commit all wrongs done to us unto him that judges righteously. Live in the light of the gospel. Live in the light of the fact that Jesus himself in his own body on that tree bore your sin so that you could live unto righteousness. We're dead to sin. So live in the light of the gospel. Live in the light of the gospel example of suffering with patience, even under extreme wrongs done against us. That's easy, isn't it? When we're done wrong, we want to speak up for ourselves. We want to defend ourselves. We want to sometimes even get the person back. But may the gospel change us. Amen. May the gospel change us. Glorious is the gospel. Glorious is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you've placed your faith in Christ. I pray that God has so moved upon you by the power of the gospel somewhere in your life or even now tonight in such a way that you've seen the gospel in a light that you've never seen, that the light of the glorious gospel has shined into your heart. And you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you've been changed. You're different. If not, look to Him. Look to Christ. Let us close with these words of Isaac Watts. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the glorious gospel. Thank you for this passage in 1 Peter here that so vividly shows how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Help us, enable us to live in the light of the glorious gospel. Father, help it change us from the inside out so that we can live unto righteousness. Looking to the gospel, looking to Christ. And what He has done for us is what enables us to say no to sin, to keep our eyes on Christ. May one tonight turn toward Jesus. And Father, may you turn them toward you. May they flee to you. May they go to you. May they find sins forgiven in Christ and what He has done for them. Father, help us to live in light of being done wrong, to know that you do all things well and vengeance belongs to you. Father, thank you for encouraging us in the gospel. For the sake of your Son, in His name we pray. Amen.